Some cards are about to be passed out to each of you, like for each of you to take one. I would give a little caveat, if you can read, take one. But if you have opportunity, if you don't mind getting up, some of you guys, and helping them to pass out the cards so we can do it as quickly as we possibly can. And if you could take some and just pass them out into the different areas and have some going upstairs and down. We'll give you a few minutes, and I will not tell you not to look at the card because that's going to make you do it anyway. So you can go ahead and take a look at the cards, and we'll say a little bit more about them in just a minute. Does everybody have one? Does anybody not have one yet? We got them? I have mine. I have mine. Okay. We have over 30 different cards available. And those 30 different cards, the titles of them are given, and there are 30 cards dealing with different subject matter, different things. And this sheet is in each of the foyers. And when you leave today, if you would like to pick up a sheet just to see what the different titles are and to take this sheet home with you, then you can do that to see which ones may be of interest to you. And then all you have to do is come to the office and say, I would like to get the cards that have this particular subject matter on them. And we will be happy to give those cards to you. We have 30 different sets of cards with 1,000 in each set. And so we have plenty to be able to give to you. And let me tell you what we're going to do now, and let's do it this way. I want you to take your card, and I want you to turn to the part that has the scriptures on it. The title of the card is The Call of Jesus, Part 1, and the top verse is Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. When you look at that side of the card, these are the verses that you will be studying in what it means to be a follower of Jesus, or following the call of Jesus. And one verse is 1 week's study. So if you were to take this and you have a group of people that would like to study the Bible with you, or that you have invited to study the Bible with, then you will start with Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, which is what we're going to do this morning. And that will be your first week's lesson. And it may, you may have to divide it and go into two different lessons depending on how much individuals wish to talk and wish to share about what they're seeing in these verses. But this is enough for 6 weeks, typically, or could possibly be even longer. Those are the verses. We'll get to that and read those in just a moment. Now turn your card over. On the other side of the card, there are some questions, some things to ask and to do. And they are particular in order, and I want to share with you what they are about. The first three titles, gratitude, intercession, and accountability, are in green. We're not going to deal with those today. And if you are having your first class, you would not deal with them either. What these three words represent are, we've had our lesson, we studied the lesson last week, we're coming back now for our second lesson, but we want to know how everybody has done with regard to the first lesson. And so as you come together for the second week of your study, you ask the first question, what happened last week that you're thankful for? As we studied the lesson last week, and then as we went through the week, What happened that you're grateful for? What happened during the week as a result of our study last week that you were grateful for? And then the second question that you would ask in the second week to begin, what challenges do you see in your life? What challenges do you see in your family? What challenges do you see in the world? Getting people to talk about the impact the first lesson has had on them and how it has dealt with their thought process. And then the third question is, how did you obey or share or meet the needs from last week's lesson? How did last week's lesson impact you? What is it that you have done this week that was done because of the impact of last week's lesson? Those are the things that we're asking as you come to the second week. So those questions aren't for today. We won't be dealing with those today. But if you're having a study with a group of people, that's the way you would start your second class, with those questions. Now, here's what we're about to do, and we'll start this in a moment, but I want to go through the list first. I have two individuals who are going to read and read again the scripture that's already been read for us. They're going to read it in two different translations. And then we're called on to ask somebody to tell the story of what we have read in their own words. I will save you that this morning, and I'll do that. But we're going to have two that will read it. And after they read it in different translations, then I'm going to tell a brief story of what it is that we have looked at and what it is that we have read. And then we come to the heart of the study. We read the text. We've read it twice. We're going to have read it three times. We're going to have it told to us. And now we start talking about the text, and we have two questions. And the two questions are the same on every card. The verses or scripture readings change on every card, but the side that you're looking at now, which raises the questions, doesn't change. This side of the card is the same for every single card. And it ties in perfectly with what we're doing with loving God and loving people. And the two questions deal with loving God, and the second one, loving people. And the first question is going to be, in our reading, what have you learned about God? What have you learned about Jesus? Maybe not what you've learned. Let's back it up a little bit. In this reading, what do you see about Jesus? What do you see about God in this reading that we have? And then you answer that question. And we're going to do that this morning. It's going to be a class. And I'm not going to tell you what I see. I want you to tell me what you see. And we're going to have a class. It's going to be kind of open. That may be feeling a little bit uncomfortable, but we might get real comfortable with it real quick. And so we're not going to be here for an extended period of time. We'll cut it short. It won't be as long as the class would normally be with just a few people, because we have a lot of people. But the first question that we'll be considering is, what do you see about Jesus in this reading? What do you learn about him? The second question is, what do you learn about yourself? What do you learn about people? What do you see that Jesus is wanting you to do? What do you see that Jesus is wanting you to become? All of those are the two questions that we're asking. The two questions that we ask about Scripture. Do you see what's happening? You're not teaching. The Word of God is teaching. You're not telling them what they need to look at. They're reading it. And they are answering the questions from the reading that they're getting from the Bible itself. It's the Bible that's doing the teaching. It's the Bible that is teaching them. And they are sharing with you what they're seeing from it. And then we come to the third thing, the question that we ask at the end of the class, how will you and I put this into practice this week? From what we have just read and what we saw about Jesus and we saw about ourselves, then what do you and I plan to do this week in response to what we have read? And then the last question is, who do you know that needs to hear this? Who do you know that needs to hear what we've talked about today? Maybe you can just share with them what we've gone through today and get them to read the scriptures along with you. Or maybe you can invite them to the next session or to the next class. But who do you know that needs to hear what we've done? Then the last question goes back to a green one that could be in a general way. What can we do to help you today? What can we do to be of service to you and help you with whatever challenges that you might be having today? That's the process of these cards. They're very simple. They're very easy to follow. And they get right to the heart of the matter. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have Daryl Mount to come. He's going to read. And Daryl, if you don't mind, tell us your translation when you come. And he's going to read Matthew 4, 13 through 25. And then after him, Scott Sims will come, tell us his translation, and he will read for us the same verses. I invite you to have your Bible. I invite you to open it. There will be a little difference in your translation and theirs, but pay close attention as it's read and follow along.
If you would turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 13 through 25. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee and of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light was dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. News about him spread over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with the various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and the disciples, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
I'll be reading the same verses, but from the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. Verse 13, he left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the road by the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Follow me," he told them, "and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed them, him. Now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread throughout Syria. So they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, and the paralytics. And he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan.
Jesus has learned about the imprisonment of John, and he moves from Nazareth to Capernaum, which is by the Sea of Galilee. And as he moves to there, the prophecy is fulfilled that was made by Isaiah, that in that land of north of Galilee, the people have seen a great light. And that great light is Jesus. And Jesus began to proclaim the same message that John had been proclaiming. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as he begins to make his journey along where he is now living by the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers. He sees Peter and Andrew. And they are fishing or mending the nets with their father. And he says to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And going a little further, he sees two other brothers, James and John, and he says the same to them and they follow him. And he goes into all of that region of Galilee, preaching the good news about the kingdom of heaven. And he begins to heal the sick. And his popularity spreads to all of the area. And they are bringing to him people with all kinds of diseases and sicknesses and demon possessions. And he's healing every one of them. And his fame begins to spread across for the whole land. Now, what do you see about Jesus? What do you see that he's doing? I will wait 10 minutes and then I will start calling on people. What decision?
To follow him
or not to follow him?
Yeah.
Decision for us to follow him. What else do you see? verifying who he is. No man can do what he's doing except God be with him. And he's verifying he is the Messiah. He's the Son of God, verifying who he is. What else do you see? He's adding men that will help spread his word. Think a little deeper. Let me ask you this question. How is he doing that? When he says to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What does it look like to follow him, to become a fisher of men? What does that look like? What are they doing in order to follow him that would cause them to be fishers of men? They're giving up everything.
My first question is why did they even consider it? This seems like a casual request to come follow me. And they left everything.
They left everything. That the answer to that actually gets into a little deeper thing. Matthew doesn't write in a chronological order. And if you're familiar with all that the Bible says, and this is really getting offline just a little bit, I'll do that real quick just to help with this. This is not the first time that Peter and Andrew have seen Jesus. As a matter of fact, just let me ask the question. It's not in the text. It's not in what we're reading, so it's a little off. But let me just do it anyway because of our group. Who was it that introduced Andrew to Jesus? It was John the Baptist. They were in the city, and John said, behold the Lamb of God. And Andrew was one of the men that was there with him. And so Andrew and evidently Philip followed Jesus, went to see where he was. After Andrew had gone to see where Jesus was and spent some time with him, then where did Andrew go? He went and found who? Peter. And what does he do with Peter when he finds him? Brings him to Jesus. We have met the Messiah. We have seen the Messiah, and he brings Peter. Then that's the first time Andrew is introduced, as far as we know, to Jesus. So when they're at the sea, they've already met. They have a background. They already know each other. They know who's talking to them, and they know what he's about. And so it's not all that quick. Because Matthew just does not give us all those other details that we do have. Okay. What does Jesus ask them to do to become like him? It's two things. Well, okay, repent. Got to turn away from our sins. But in the process of following him, what are they doing? Sometimes I have a hard time asking good questions. And I have an even harder time getting good answers. No, I'm sorry. I'm kidding. All right. Let me just throw this one out and think about it. When it starts, and it starts with the verse that we've read, the people in Galilee saw something. What did they see? It was the fulfillment of the prophecy. They saw a great light. What's the significance of seeing a great light? Something you're to follow. Something you're to be guided by. Something that shows you direction. Something that shows you the way you need to go. That great light is Jesus. And Jesus' first words are what? repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who's the king? The kingdom has a king. Who's the king? Jesus. The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, doing the very will of God. You have a king. The kingdom is here. Not in its completeness, but the kingdom is here. And Jesus is the king. Now, what I'm thinking about, and you share with me if you don't agree, that's fine. But Jesus simply says to those apostles, and he does it to each one of them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He did two things. And they are following him, paying attention to the two things that he's doing. The first thing that he's doing is saying what God wants him to say, delivering the message God has sent him to deliver. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in the very next chapter that he's going to have the Sermon on the Mount. And in that Sermon on the Mount, he's giving a broad scope of this is what it means to listen to what God says. This is not what you've always heard from the teachers of the law, but this is what God intended, this is what God meant, this is what God is talking about. And so Jesus speaks, and when he speaks, he's declaring the very word of God. The second thing that he does is he's doing things. Now, what he's doing and what's highlighted in our reading is he's healing people. He will allow the disciples to do that. We don't do that. We don't heal people like Jesus did. But Jesus healing people and the disciples healing people demonstrated they are from God or they have been with Jesus. It is proof that they are who they claim to be in connection with Jesus and who Jesus claimed to be in being the Son of God and in being the Messiah. But I want you to back up from that. We don't do that, but there's something he's doing that we do do. Something he's doing that we can do and that we ought to be doing. And it's hard for you to read my mind, but hopefully you'll see it. You can see it as we go through the text. Forget about the miracle. Forget about the miracles that are performed. But look at what is being done when he does heal people. In order for him to heal somebody, what's the first thing Jesus has to see? A need. So if Jesus is seeing a need, would we call him a watcher? A noticer? An individual who notices people and notices where they are and needs that they might have. Is that a part of what it means to be his follower? You follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he's a noticer. He notices people. He doesn't overlook them. And when he sees a need, he does what he can. And he can do everything in order to help that need. And he does it in a very miraculous way, proving himself to be the Son of God. So he's doing two things. And when he asks his disciples, you follow me, he's basically saying, listen to what I'm saying and you say the same thing. Listen to how I'm dealing with people and you deal with people in the same way. You follow me and watch me. And there's nothing said about the apostles in all of chapter 4 and then all through the Sermon on the Mount. And then we get into that list of miracles. And we don't see any teaching process. We don't see anything of them setting down and being given specific instructions. They're simply following him. They're hearing what he says. They're seeing what he does. And Jesus is saying, you listen to me, and you watch what I'm doing, and I will make you disciples of men. It's not any different for us. How do we become individuals who make disciples? We listen to what he says. We pay attention to what he did, how he treated people, and how he noticed people. That's what we do. That's what they did. And we can't make disciples if we don't say what he did. And we can't make disciples if we're not following in his likeness and in his image and striving to be like him. That's, to me, the whole process of what this is about as we look at what Jesus did and what he would have his disciples to do. So we look, okay, what does Jesus do? There it is. What do we do? There it is. We listen to him and we follow him. And that helps us to make disciples of all nations. That's the first card. Sheets are at both foyers for you to look at different cards that are available. Hope you'll pick some up. Hope you will use them. I will tell you this. I believe it's in our Trailblazers class. There's already a group of men that have already started studying with these cards. They're already using them. They're making up their own because you don't have to use just these cards. You can put verses of scripture together and use them in whatever way. But the primary questions are, what's it telling us about Jesus and God? What's it telling us about us? And we've got individuals who are already doing that. And those individuals are already going out to people that they know and introducing them to the study that they're having and growing in that study. It's already taking place. It's a very easy, very simple way of starting a study with other people. And we hope that we do it or do whatever you prefer with regard to talking with others. But let's become his followers. Let's become like him. Say what he says. Strive to live like he lives. There may be some this morning that are ready to become a part of the body of Christ, to belong to him, to be baptized into him. If you desire to respond to his invitation this morning or need to come home to him, we want to offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.